The following is a Pro Football Network podcast, the primary voice for pro football at profootballnetwork.com.
David Bearman here, back at Mandalay Bay Radio Row, here for Pro Football Network. Super Bowl 58. This might be one of the most exciting interviews I do all week. My man, myth and legend, buddy of mine, David Purdom from ESPN Bet. David and I go way, way back to the beginnings of ESPN Chalk. David, the Super Bowl is in Las Vegas. The Super Bowl is in Las Vegas. Did you ever think the Super Bowl would be in Las Vegas?
Certainly not 10 years ago. Right when we were starting all of ESPN's betting, NFL did not want anything to do with Las Vegas. Tony Romo wasn't allowed to have a fantasy football convention here because it was inside a casino. They would not have a Pro Bowl here. And then even in 2018, after the Raiders had come on board, they fined some players for having an arm wrestling contest inside a nightclub of a casino. So NFL wanted nothing to do with Vegas. All of a sudden they do.
Having worked with you as long as I did, I remember the original stories of how the NFL, like the lawsuit against PASPA. Mm-hmm. And then it's, all right, the other leagues are going to do deals with betting companies. Talk about how the NFL took a little bit of a cautious approach, even though the overturning of PASPA in 2018 changed the dynamic. The NFL still wasn't ready.
No, they weren't. They really kind of took their time. They had been preparing, but they wanted to see how the market basically took shape, right? And they wanted to see the best entry points. And they took their time. Like you said, NBA, NHL, Major League Baseball, within 6 months of the PASPA decision, they had official sportsbook partners. NFL, it took them 2 years. And then they jumped in board and made a big donation to National Council on Problem Gambling, which I thought was a smart move, right? Optics, it was good. It was good overall for the industry. So NFL did say that, you know, we wanted to make sure and see how the market grew up and then see when we could enter. And that's beneficial when you're the big dog, right?
So there are steps here. 2018, PASPA was overturned. NFL took a cautious approach. Now we fast forward. Raiders come to town. 2022 Super Bowl is in a legal betting state for the first time with a sports book right outside the stadium. Mm-hmm. 2023 Super Bowl is in the betting capital of the world. What's next?
I think you're going to start seeing more integration of traditional gaming. I think when the last collective bargaining agreement, the NFL included language about putting in slot machines in stadiums. They have NFL slot machines right over there, branded, where we've seen them. I think you're going to see more and more of that. And I'll tell you what, a big picture prediction for me, 10 years, 15 years down the road, don't be surprised if the NFL is not the actual bookmaker. And they would do that with an exchange model, where they would just basically take a commission off all the volume. They would not have a stake in the outcome of the bets, right? They don't want that, because that's when you start looking at over
sure.
things. But they might have some sort of trading platform where they would take a commission.
So the NFL acting somewhat as a sports book a couple of years after having a lawsuit to prevent sports betting. I would call that, I know it's a 180, but it seems like it's a 180 times 1,000. But you just gave us our perfect quote for today. What do you think took so long? And why do you think they finally said, all right, we'll allow, because there are still issues. We
sure.
still see players getting suspended. Jameson Williams missed six weeks of a season. Calvin Ridley, who everybody is aware of because he's one of the best fantasy players out there, had to sit out an entire year. That stuff still happens. And yet, we're hearing about that more than we were before legalized gambling was allowed. So it's like, all right, you turn on the faucet, expect the water to come. The cautious approach, what are they doing now to combat that?
Well, I think that when they looked at it, you know, people criticize them. Oh, you're hypocritical. You switch things. Well, I'm not sure they had much of a choice, right? Because the issues that you just mentioned, players getting suspended, maybe if there were to be a gambling scandal, those were going to happen whether the NFL had an official sportsbook partner or they embraced or they said, nope, we're not getting involved. So the choice was really a business decision, right? Well, we can tap into this billion-dollar revenue stream or we can say no. Either way, those ramifications were still going to hurt us. So it was a pretty simple business decision, in my opinion.
What are they doing to combat some of the issues? Like, you and I have talked about it before, about the watchdogs and mm-hmm. ensuring that things are... And there's going to be mistakes. Listen, no matter what laws you have in any town, people are still going to speed.
Sure.
People are still going to rob banks. We'll get to that one in a minute. But what is the NFL doing to prevent the issues that could come about?
I don't think you can prevent. I think you can deter.
How do you deter?
And they, penalties, right? Suspensions. They recently upped the suspensions from 1 year to 2 years if you actually bet on the NFL. If you bet on your team, I believe it was. So that's the only reason. You cannot stop somebody from handing you your phone, hey, place this bet for me, right? It's very, very difficult. You can try to add deterrence, and I think that's what the NFL is trying to do.
So one of my favorite stories, I don't know if favorite's the right word, but one of the more intriguing stories that I was a part of when I worked with you at ESPN Chalk, now ESPN Bet, was the Wolfman. Kansas City's Chiefs top fan, who I would assume is not here right now. If he is, we don't know where he is.
He's in Leavenworth,
so he's going to stay there.
Yes.
You did a phenomenal story on that while I was there, and then it turned into a little bit of a documentary on ESPN. Why don't you walk us through that story, how it came about, and your role in playing with it? Because I remember getting a text message from you saying, the FBI needs my help. And I'm like, okay, well, this is a different type of story. The FBI needs my help. So why don't you give us a little elevator version of what that was about?
So Chiefsaholic is a rabid, passionate Kansas City Chiefs fan. He would dress up head to toe in a gray wolf suit. He was at all the games. Anybody that's watched any Chiefs game probably seen him on TV. He was a TV magnet. And nobody really knew much about him. And all of a sudden, last December, he didn't show up for a game that he was supposed to show up. And he had been to every game. He would drive across the country. And people got worried about him. He was a popular fan. People liked him. And they got worried about him. People started digging. And all of a sudden, they found a mugshot. Armed robbery. Charged with armed robbery. And he got arrested. He got out on bond. Cut off his ankle bracelet. And promptly absconded. Took off. And then they finally caught him. And it turns out that he was connected to, I think it was about close to a dozen different robberies, bank robberies, and he was using casinos to kind of launder the money through it, allegedly. He's still on trial right now. He's in Leavenworth. His trial begins in April, so we're going to have to kind of see what happens. But it was a sad story. There's a lot of twists and turns.
If I was super fan, I would make sure that I was watching the Super Bowls of my teams in back-to-back Super Bowls, not in Leavenworth during that. He missed last year, and he'll miss this year. You've been to a bunch of these. How does Super Bowl being in Las Vegas compare to some of the other ones you've been to?
You know, the last one I went to was in Atlanta.
Hometown?
Hometown, where it was Rams and Patriots. And, it was not nearly what it is here.
Sure.
I was talking to some of the cab drivers around, and, you know, they're not going to let people park their private jets on Sunday night. You have to fly in, drop people off, and leave. Just direct all the traffic that's going to be coming through here. So I think it's going to be an incredible scene. I'm going to be very interested to see what it's like in the sports books, because it's usually packed as all can be out. I imagine it's going to be that way as well. So very interesting.
I always ask this question before we end every guest. Who's going to win?
Chiefs.
What's the score?
I think I picked 31-23. I kind of regret my 23 because I don't have much faith in the 49ers kicker. I think that's going to play a difference. I do think it's going to be a high scoring game. If I'm going to play, so I'm going to take the over.
So Chiefs money line, the over, and the 49ers kicker to miss an extra point. It seems like he's picking at 31-23. ESPN Bet's David Purdom, David Behrman, Pro Football Network. Go to profootballnetwork.com at PFN 365.